picked it up, though, through the right circle, goes to Captain. Tavares, high slot, shoots and scores! John Tavares gets the Islanders the early 1-0 lead!
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Isles Blog Podcast, Game 7 Preview Edition. I'm Joe Bono. A reminder, you can follow the entire team on Twitter at IslesBlog and subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. He's an Islanders columnist for WFAN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Green Lantern Jet. It's our friend Jeff Capellini. Jeff, how you doing, pal?
How's it going, Joe?
I tell you what, I was thinking about this as I left the Coliseum yesterday, and Islander fans haven't experienced a lot of winning. Obviously, no playoff series win since 92-93, but I don't know how hockey fans do this for four rounds. I'd like to find out, but I don't know how they do it.
You have to have like real conviction because that is, it's an assault on the senses. I mean, baseball, I've been through everything when it comes to baseball, Jets, you know, and it's stressful, but this is every other day, you know, it's going to be just, it's not fun. There's nothing fun about it. You know, if you lose, it's the end of the world. If you win, you're like, you get to breathe for 5 minutes and then you have to go back at it. And like, you know, right, you know, about a day and a half later, you're right back at it again. It's crazy. Crazy.
And I'm heading in yesterday to the Coliseum, and I go to Twitter about 2:45 or so, and I see the lineup, and I see that the defense pairing, there's no Pulock, there's no Reinhardt, it's Matt Donovan and Scott Mayfield, Colin McDonald's in, Anders Lee's a scratch. I mean, what were your thoughts when you saw the lineup from Jedlin, Jack Capuano?
Oh, man, I was surprised. I was really surprised. I mean, Donovan, I understood. Because I mean, he's actually played pretty well in the limited time he's been asked to, you know, he's wanted to play, and he was upset a lot because he kept getting scratched and scratched, and I think he felt that he deserved to be on the ice as much as anybody else, you know. And I felt good about him, but I was like, Scott Mayfield, oh, you know, what is this? And Colin McDonald, like, understood too, because if you're going for a gritty edge to it, he's not going to make mistakes out there, but I don't know what he's going to provide for you offensively, you know. And Anders Lee didn't shock me because Nelson got scratched the game before. So I didn't know what he was doing, but Jack has seemed throughout this whole thing like he's enjoying it. I mean, the fans might be nervous, Rex, and people looking at it from a distance might be like, wow, you know, these are crazy decisions. But every interview, every postgame, Jack has looked very calm and composed, not like this is affecting him at all. And that's kind of strange. It's either he must, because if we think that he's got, you know, if his job security is hinged on this series, it might not be, for all we know, you know?
No, he's been, I agree with you, in his post-game comments after wins or losses. He has been relaxed and not, a couple of times I felt, you know, after game two, I felt he was very animated and almost angry with the level of play. But
yeah,
he did impress me after game five. As poorly as they played in game five, it seemed as if he was just saying, you know, we made some bad decisions with the puck, but we were right there in it. I know those kind of comments alienated and upset some fans after back-to-back losses, and now you're facing elimination. But, you know, for a guy that's only, this is only his second playoff series, he has been very calm, cool, and collected as a head coach, and you need that.
I give him credit, though, because he has said he's been consistent with it throughout the whole time. If we play a certain way, we're going to be successful. And that's his mantra. And we know what that means. That means they have to forecheck and skate and go crazy. You know, if they play their game where they're constantly the aggressor, he's satisfied. He thinks that if you do that, eventually we're going to be successful. And when they get away from that is the only time he really gets, quote unquote, annoyed. And even after game five, I mean, they, going into the second period, they were in pretty good shape. And then things just fell apart. And it's as if he was able to say, you know, we tried too hard to try to be bullies tonight instead of trying to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood it. Like other people, other coaches and the fans were furious about it and could be furious potentially about it. Or analysts would say, what the hell are the Islanders doing? But he understood. He came to grasp. This is a young team, and they got away from what they needed to do. But we're going to regroup and we're going to go back. It was a very mature approach from a coach, like you said, who doesn't have a hell of a lot of experience doing this. That makes me think that he's got a firm grasp on what his team is. And if they don't win, it's not going to necessarily be because they weren't prepared or whatever. It just might be that they get beat as opposed to them beating themselves.
Jeff, what do you think in terms of Game 7? Now, during the regular season, generally, if the team won, Capuano would keep the same lineup. But now the Islanders don't have last change, which was a big advantage Saturday afternoon at home, especially when you had Donovan and Mayfield in the lineup.
Right.
So what do you expect, if any, changes on the blue line? And do you see any changes amongst the forwards as well?
I think he keeps everything on the blue line the same. Because those guys, though they only played around 10 minutes each, they were not liabilities at all, and they brought toughness. I mean, Mayfield, he was blasting people all over the place, and he did a pretty good job in one-on-one coverage against a lot of, you know, some really talented guys. And Donovan moves the puck really nicely. I like the way he skates through the neutral zone. I don't think you're changing anything when it comes to them. I would, however, get Anders Lee back in there and sit McDonald back down, because I think that two goals could win this game, Game 7. I really do. And I think you need to have the best guys out there. And Anders Lee was their second highest goal scorer. You just got to get him out there.
And part of the reason why Lee was not in the lineup, obviously he wasn't scoring. And listen, I love the fight, obviously, with Tom Wilson. Doesn't matter if you win or lose that fight. Mm-hmm. The fact that he was willing to drop gloves and was the instigator for that fight said a lot.
Right. As soon as he dropped the gloves, he's the only one who inspired them all night long. Even though he didn't do anything, and even though he kind of got, ragdolled a bit in the fight, they scored right after that. And that was the best they looked at that particular moment. So it's not like Anders Lee has to score all the time to make a contribution. I mean, he can get beat up and make a contribution, as we just saw. I'd get him back out there. I really would, because his hands are so good, and you get him in front of that net, and all he needs is one rebound to come to him the right way, and it's a different game. You know what I mean?
Well, here's my question, because it was part of the reason why he was a healthy scratch, because of his struggles and the overall struggles that continue with the power play. And the idea that the Islanders are tied in this series 3 games apiece without a power play goal. I mean, people going into any series talk about how important special teams are going to be.
Yeah.
And the penalty kill has been very strong. He's allowed a couple power play goals, one of them, at the very end of the first period on Saturday, but they've been good. The idea of Ovechkin being alone in that left circle, we really haven't seen much of that. But the power play, what is going on there? What do you see? People continually get upset, too fancy and not too much passing. Boychuk not on the power play unit at times. What's your thoughts on the power play?
Yeah, it seems like everyone is so tentative. I don't know why. At this point, it's like you got to shoot the puck. You just have to. And no matter where you are, you just got to – don't try for the perfect setup. Just get it on net. Get bodies in front of the goal. Try them for deflections and rebounds. I mean, this is – it's hockey 101, especially on the power play. But we've seen in the past that don't necessarily have to have the best power play in the world to win in the playoffs. It seems like a contradiction, but it's been proven you don't, as long as you're doing the other things correctly. And barring – I mean, except for Game 5, when the defense basically was overmatched and seemed like everybody got out of sorts, the Islanders' defense has been actually pretty good as a whole. So, each team has scored 14 goals in this series through 6 games. That's pretty impressive when you consider the firepower of both sides. So, I think at this point you have to get your most skilled guys out there on these two units. You need Boychuk. I would have thought maybe you could run Kulak out there, but I think Jack's playing more for physical toughness. He wants more toughness 5-on-5, and I think they're just going to let chips fall where they may on the power play. Now, sooner or later, somebody's going to be in the right place at the right time, and it's going to pay off for them. I think at this point, if they score a power play goal, it's probably going to be the most perfectly timed power play goal in history, because it could win a Game 7,
WFAN's Jeff Cappellini is our guest. Let's talk about Letty and Boychuk. Nick Letty, 28 minutes, 59 seconds total ice time. Johnny Boychuk, 27 minutes. I think a lot of people thought they might play over 30 going into the game. I mean, they're out there constantly, and I did not notice them slowing down. In the third period, I thought they looked just as fresh, just as physical. And, you know, Nick Leddy, you just get so impressed, especially I think when you watch these games live as opposed to on TV, how goody of a skater he is. And then Boychuk, I mean, there's a guy that, you know, was not buried in Boston, but you're seeing it now. The Islanders locked up a top two defense pair here.
These two guys are going to be phenomenal for a long period of time. And you can tell from watching Leddy that even though he's not the most physical defender in the world, he's such a good positional defender. He knows where to put that stick, and he moves his feet so well that you don't have to take somebody off the puck to render them ineffective. And that's what he does so well, especially against the boards. He doesn't necessarily have to punish you, but he can just frustrate you by being there by always being stride for stride with you, and definitely never getting beaten. Now, Boychuk's a different story because, you know, he throws the body around, but he's been, you know, we were used to, when Johnny Boychuk was first brought aboard, we knew of him, the gigantic hits he would throw. I think he's been pretty reserved this year. I think he's not gone for it as much as he probably could have when it comes to the physical game. So maybe that's part of the reason why he's not worn down. And the part of the reason, you know, Leddy, he's not worn down either, is that both of them use their legs in a more appropriate manner than try to punish people. They use their legs because they have to cover 200 feet of ice, and it's going to be like that tomorrow. That's why I'm not getting crazy about who plays of the rookies, because we saw from yesterday, those guys were responsible. Both guys were responsible, Donovan and Mayfield. And tomorrow, if they get 10 minutes again, you know those other two guys, you know Boychuk and Leddy, are going to play forever. So I don't think it's necessarily you want to keep the guys off the ice that are going to be turnover machines. If you're not a turnover machine, I don't think it matters, because your top two guys are going to play a lot anyway.
Speaking about top guys, John Tavares, every time things have gone wrong this series, he's been pointing to himself first and foremost. And, you know, Jack Capuano continues to say in post games that your best players need to be your best players. Well, he was there. I mean, listen, they had a lot of best players, I think, on Saturday. But the first goal, and then just the ability to just make a hockey play as Ovechkin's bearing down on him. And he didn't even see the goal go in, the Blumen goal.
Right.
You know, just about Tavares and just his leadership. And just we continue to just be more and more impressed, I think, with the level of play, the determination of this player.
Yeah, I know that he needs a top winger on his line. I think we've all been saying that forever, but he just does so many things out there, and his motor's always running, and he's so smart. I mean, the broken sticks are all that. That's crazy stuff, and nobody can explain why it happens. But he's so good at just keeping an even keel about him, especially on the ice. He doesn't get carried away, and he does make everybody around him better. He always has. And yesterday when he got hammered, the good news was the way he plays the game rubs off on everybody else, because the natural inclination would be, as soon as he got leveled from behind, would be for someone to scream for a call and to lose their focus. But Leddy kept playing and Kuhlman kept playing. And that's a part of a byproduct of having a captain who plays to the whistle. You know what I'm saying? They kept playing, they scored a goal, and it was a different game.
Jeff Capellini, WFAN.com, is our guest. Follow him on Twitter, @GreenLanternJet. So this is the Islanders' first Game 7 since the 2002 series, where all the home teams won the games against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That Game 7 did not end well, although the Islanders took a 1-0 lead in that game on an Alexei Yashin goal, ended up losing 4-2.
Yeah,
Kip Miller had the other Islander goal.
in that
Game 7. Now the Capitals, you know, we talk so much about home ice going in to the end of the regular season. The Islanders blowing that opportunity to have home ice by losing that game to the Blue Jackets on April 11th. But having home ice for the Capitals has not been a good thing, especially in Game 7s. They are 3-9 overall in Game 7s in the Stanley Cup playoffs, including 2-7 at home. And since 2008, just 1-4 on home ice here in the New York tri-state area. You remember the Rangers going in there and winning 5-0 in the Game 7. So, listen, Game 7 on the road, but there could be worse arenas to be playing in a Game 7.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, everyone's talking about the sound. And, I mean, when the Verizon Center gets loud is when they're – The National Coliseum is loud even when the Islanders aren't playing well, because it seems like they're trying to inspire. The fans that are there are inspiring the team to play better. There, in the Verizon Center, it seems like they need something good to happen before they get excited. And I think Yaroslav Halak is key tomorrow. He is the ball game. If that guy can play like he played yesterday, he could frustrate anybody within seconds, and it could change. It might take just maybe one or two goals, and that's it. I mean, I think that if he plays well, it really they could get out of it. They could actually make this thing happen. I mean, it's easy because the first 10 minutes tomorrow are going to be crazy, and the Capitals are going to throw everything at them, as they have every single home. They're going to go out, and they're going to scare the Islanders early. If they get through that, and Halak makes big saves, you got to figure sooner or later the offense is going to figure something out. They're going to get in it. Hopi's been really good, but he gives up
He gives up
that rebound every now and then. If Halak is as good as he was yesterday, they got a real shot to pull this off.
I think secondary scoring obviously has been super important. Prior to yesterday's game, the Islanders had gone three straight games but only scoring one goal in regulation. Kalaposo, I've seen some nice things from here and there. Doesn't seem to be all the way back to where he was earlier in the season, but better than he was towards the end of the season. Then you got Franz Nielsen. But I tell you what, what was really impressive, I thought so, yesterday was the play of Mikhail Grabowski. And all these players going out of the lineup, you got someone back that maybe Islander fans didn't expect to see again this season, someone who underachieved. But I could look at him as someone that might come up with a big goal or a big play on Monday night that could end up being the difference. I thought he played great on Saturday.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and you got to keep cooling him with him. Those two, we knew that when they were first signed as a package deal way back in the day, that they needed to play together. And for the most part this season, they didn't really play together that much. And then yesterday, they looked like they were finishing each other's sentences. I mean, it was crazy. So he was one of the best skaters on the ice yesterday, Grabowski. And you're right, he could be somebody who alters how this thing ends tomorrow. I haven't been in love with the way Franz has played this. He seems like he's been pulling disappearing acts like left and right here. And Josh Bailey, even though he has the points, you know, he hasn't really been seen, and Brock hasn't been seen, and Lee has been disappearing. It's weird. And the one guy who came back, Kyle's got to be better too, because I think he's back, so to speak, from a physical standpoint. He's just got to put his imprint on this series in some way, and he's yet to do that. So Grabowski, he was actually a godsend yesterday, because I don't know if they win that game if he wasn't doing what he was doing.
Jeff, you talked about on Twitter a lot this year about how people, just thinking of the Islanders as an offensive team, you look at their overall, you know, goals for throughout the year, but you've been talking about there's a difference between just scoring goals in the regular season and that offense carrying over in the playoffs. So now that you've watched this team now for six games and you understand and have seen the personnel for far beyond that, you know, what do you think is missing? What do you think of is there an overarching reason on why these guys aren't scoring?
No, I just think they're just not mature enough to understand, not mature enough as players, having been through the wars enough to know what it really takes. They could probably use another veteran. There are a lot of people who thought I was crazy because I wanted Yager. I wanted Yager at the deadline. And considering what they had to spend from a draft pick standpoint, he would have been the highest ceiling probably they could have afforded, because they didn't have the first round picks. And he ended up going for a lot less than that. But more veterans are what win at this time of year. People who know have been there and been there through it time and again. Now, in two, three years from now, maybe every Islander forward will be exactly that kind of guy. But right now, they're not. They're not that kind of guy. The ice surface is smaller. The checks are finished and harder. You can't get excited about a team that finished third or fourth overall in goals during the regular season when, you know, the intensity is not quite what it is going to be in the playoffs. It's a different ball game. You just need people who know what they're doing. And again, that's why you can't get insane if they don't make it out of this series. Because though the fans deserve it, it's been 22 years. They need to win a playoff series. I want to see them win a playoff series more than anything. they still don't have the veteran presence up front, the know-how up front, to consistently score that big goal when you need it. So, again, I want them to win this. I want them to win a series, but if they don't, the lack of experience up front is going to be a big reason why they didn't get it done. Because 14 goals in six games is not a lot of goals. It's just not. It's a credit to the way the Islanders have played defense because they've only allowed 14 goals. But, you know, you can't average 2.3 goals a game in a seven-game series and expect to win it.
Jeff Peterbody, New York Daily News, used to cover the Islanders, of course, wrote the Fish Sticks book with Alan Hahn, sent this out earlier today. Playoff round win since the Isles last advanced in 1993. Devils 23, Yankees 22, Rangers 17, Knicks 14, Giants 10, Nets 10, Jets 7, and the Mets 4. So the Islanders trailing the Mets just by 4. No playoff series wins. I know there are some fans out there that are afraid that they're going to get embarrassed by the Rangers with all the injuries next round. But the question is, do you think they pull this off and there will be more hockey at the Nassau Coliseum?
I think that if Yaroslav Halak plays well tomorrow, like I was saying earlier, they have a great shot. This defense has been given. The bottom line is this defense gives up scoring opportunities. It doesn't make a difference if Travis Hamonic is playing and DeHaan is playing better and straight and Letty and Boychuk and Visnovsky. It doesn't matter if you have your original six. It doesn't matter. When they were even in, they were giving up a lot of goals as a team. Now that you have, you know, half your defense is your starting defense is out and you have these kids coming in, they're still going to give up scoring opportunities. So how Halak plays is everything. He has to be tremendous tomorrow. He's got, I'm not sure of the exact number, but I know his elimination record all time.
6-1.
6-1, yep. And his goals against is under 2, and his save percentage is approaching .940. All right, so you need him to be that guy tomorrow. If he's not that guy, if he's ordinary or just good, they're not going to win. Because the intensity and of what's going to happen when the Capitals hit the ice, the ice is going to be tilted for a while, and you're going to need Halak to be the stabilizing force that straightens the ice back out. Just long enough that the Islanders can figure out what to do. Granted, they might strike on the power play and wreck the series, or Tavares, he may take over. Halak has to hold down the fort long enough for the Isles to get an advantage and then has to shut the door. He is the whole thing tomorrow. He's the ball game. He plays his way. That way, they can go on to the second round. They can play the Rangers. And you know what? I think they'll play the Rangers really tough. I think they're one of the only teams that can play the Rangers really tough. But we'll cross that bridge, I guess, if we get there.
People continue to say that the first goal is of utmost importance. Islanders have scored the first goal 5 out of 6 times in this series. You know, it might be the second goal that is most important on Monday night, whether that be to tie the game up at 1 and kind of return things to normalcy in the Verizon Center, or to kind of give yourself some breather room and get that 2-0 lead because they're going to keep on coming, as you said, throughout the game. Well, Jeff, listen, this was fun. Hopefully we get to do it again and to preview or recap another playoff series after this. I don't know. I haven't experienced as an adult a second round for the Islanders, but I'm hoping to do so. And I know it's been quite a while for both of us.
The last time I saw a second round was 92-93. It was the David Volek series against Pittsburgh after Turgeon got decked. And that was insane. It was incredible. I remember it like yesterday. And a lot of people that, you know, we're used to dealing with on Twitter and whatnot, they weren't around for that. But let me tell you something. That was one of the most incredible things you'd ever say. Because the Caps and the Pens were so good. It was disgusting. I mean, they were rolling toward, like, I think it was a third straight championship. And the Isles, you know, they came out of nowhere and they did what they did. And you had the Ray Ferraros of the world and the Glenn Healy's of the world. It was just incredible. You want to see that again. And if they get a chance to play the Rangers in the next round, I think it'll just be, you know, you can throw out the records, throw out the injuries, throw out everything, because it's just going to be war from start to finish. But,
you know, I've said this a couple other times that you know, when you don't have championships, sometimes you don't need a championship for a team to be revered. And I think because it's been so long since the Islanders have advanced in the postseason, that 92-93 team holds a special place. The 2002 team, which was the first team back to the playoffs, and you know, since 94 was a big time team. And I think this team, regardless of what happens Monday, with it being the final year of the Coliseum and the very appropriate send off that they gave the building yesterday, if it happens to be the final game, this team will always have a very special place in the heart of Islander fans.
I still think they need to win tomorrow. I get what you're saying. I heard a lot of people saying that yesterday. The fact that they didn't lose, that the series didn't end on home ice, is like a saving grace. They got to win this series. I mean, they went out and they spent a lot of money and they did a lot of things to make this team, you know, worthy. And there's really, aside from the Rangers, as far as the way that the conference has shaken out this year, it's been wide open. Anyone can win it. And I think they really need to win this game tomorrow. They really, I mean, look, going forward, they're going to be really good. I think that they're going to be a contender for something for the next, you know, 5 years. No question about it. But right now, 22 years, Coliseum closing, all the money spent, Tavares, getting Halak, got to win the series because the Washington Capitals are not definitively better than you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's Jeff, we'll be watching 7:30 MSG Plus, Harry Rose, Butch Goring, Shannon Hogan for the final time this year, regardless of what happens on Monday night. Enjoy Game 7, and we hope we get to be a nervous wreck and an emotional roller coaster for a whole bunch of games more.
Sounds great, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter @IslesBlog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.